Hey guys, I'm Jordan Frommer. I believe in hunting hard, hunting smart, and having a fun time while doing it. And shooting limits? Well, that's just the icing on the cake. I revel in the journey just as much as the successes it brings. From ducks to dogs to decoys and guns, we'll be talking tactics, strategies, and what it takes to get the job done. Load up and take aim. This is the Duck Gun Podcast.
What's going on, folks? Thanks for joining me on another episode of the Duck Gun Podcast, the podcast where you learn to be a better waterfowl hunter. So we are actually on the boat. Hey, Chief, sit down. Sit. This is great. Alec, do you mind just put him in the kennel real quick?
Yep.
You done goofed, Chief. You're a terrible dog. Get out of here. All right, so we are coming at you from the boat build, the boat project out here in not Minnesota, but Wisconsin. I always want to say Minnesota, but we're right over the border. And I'm excited to fill you guys in on some updates for the boat and all we've been working on. But I do want to say, man, the setting we have here tonight in the boat, we're sitting here in the cabin. We got some real life old-fashioned oil lamps setting the scene. It's pretty cool having that. I will insert a video right now for the people watching the YouTube video to be able to see the oil lamps as well, because you can't see it on the, you know, the little screenshot, the point of view that they're at. So struggling to say how that is, but we got Hunter, the king of the cans, with us. We got Zach, young Padawan, with us as well. And then we got Zach's buddy, Alec. You've never been on the podcast, though, have you?
I have not.
All right. Well, we'll have some fun questions for you as well. And
great.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's real quick get a word from our partners, then we'll jump into the main meat of the episode. So first off, I'd like to give a big thanks to Onyx. Guys, Onyx is a great app for the duck hunter. From looking up private land or public land, getting that permission, it is a great tool in the duck hunter's hand. So check it out. Also, check out Weatherby, especially the Sorex that just came out. A great shotgun, and I can't wait this season. I'll be using it for turkey season in a little bit, but as far as waterfowl season as well, they got some great options for the duck hunter. So when you're in the market for a waterfowl gun or turkey gun, be sure to check out Weatherby. Also, I give big thanks to Final Approach, the one-stop shop for the duck hunter. They got decoys, they got blinds, they got all kinds of stuff. They got waders, you name it. Jump over there, Final Approach. FABrand.com, use code duck gun, yeah, just duck gun over there, and get your 10% off, and get yourself your off-season list. We all have lists on off-season of stuff we got to get, so that is the best option to get some cool stuff over there. Also like to give a big thanks to Motion Ducks, guys. Motion Ducks is the jerk rig on steroids. Too many duck hunters overlook the fact that you need some motion in the set to finish the decoys, and Motion Ducks solves that problem in a quick and easy and effective way. So check them out over there, motionducks.com/duckgunchronicles, and use code DUCKGUN10, and you'll get your discount and a free anchor bag as well. Yeah, let's go ahead and jump on into the podcast. So, as we're saying, guys, we're out here in Wisconsin again, and this weekend has been a ride already. I can't believe it's only like literally that was just a day worth of stuff we did.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible, right?
Yeah, it is. We're all over the place. But first, let's get, you know, we got a newcomer to the group, a newcomer, first time seeing the boat. Let's kind of hear your thoughts. You know, just tell us what you think about the whole idea and the project.
I really like the idea. I really like the plan that you guys have set for this boat, and I'm really excited to see the final product. I really like the inside as it sits right now. I know you guys have plans to add some things, make it a little cozier, make it a little nicer, storage, so on and so forth. And I think it'll make some really good content for you guys. I think it'll be great, easy, smooth days out on the water, just coasting, coasting down, and hopefully smooth anyway. But
right.
I'm really excited to see what this boat turns out to be as the final product.
Definitely, yeah. The whole goal of it is just to have do something epic, do something that's just like a crazy.
An adventure.
Adventure, right, yeah. Just doing something, killing ducks in a crazy adventure, in a crazy way. So, hopefully we can accomplish all that with the goal, and we've definitely set kind of the bar high for our goals and expectations and everything we got to do to accomplish it. But so now, like, being at the boat and kind of seeing everything we have to overcome, you know, are we crazy? Did we bite off more than we should? Like, what's your thought on that?
I think the timeline is very aggressive. I don't think it's impossible, but definitely going to have to put in quite a few more long days, just like we did this morning. Even longer, probably coming up here soon, but, I don't think it's that far out of reach in terms of timeline, but it's definitely going to be some busy, busy weekends.
Right. Yeah. And this was one of them for sure.
Yeah.
So far on it, we've been 2 for 2 for like just gritty, dirty, tough, like worn out long days. As far as like our Saturday, Sunday, we don't have as much time. And then not to mention, we got to drive, hours and hours. And
it's a long drive.
Yep. Yeah, Zach, you got the longest drive, so you and Alec do, for sure. So. Yeah.
It's almost 12 hours, so when right. I get home, I got to start work in like a couple hours, barely have time to sleep. But
yeah.
It's rough, but it's worth it.
Definitely. So I'm trying to think, I'm trying to think what order to do the podcast, but so we're going to get back to the boat stuff. We're going to give you kind of update for that, but since it's Alec's first time on the podcast, we got some questions for you. So we've been doing a lightning round for a long time. I don't know if you've heard it in the past at all to know what to expect, but we'll go ahead and kind of give you the rundown. So what kind of shotgun do you shoot?
12 gauge Franke Affinity 3.
Not a 28?
No.
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 Okay. And what's your preferred shot size for ducks?
Threes nowadays. It used to be twos, but threes.
Steel or bismuth?
Steel.
3.5 or 3?
3.
Let's see. Preferred load for goose?
Goose, typically BB, but I will shoot twos at them.
Okay. And nothing in between? Just twos or BBs?
Yep. That's kind of the target there.
Are you doing 3.5s or threes? Or
threes. The Franke only takes threes.
Okay.
And I never even bought 3.5-inch when I did have a 3.5-inch gun.
Ducks or geese?
Oh, to eat geese. I know that's a very controversial topic in this group, but to eat geese, to hunt ducks.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. We all like the taste of goose in here, I think.
Yeah.
So goose pastrami is definitely a favorite. So
yeah, that also like that.
Have you
goose steak that you made the one night?
That's true.
That was good too.
Yep. Have you tried goose pastrami yet?
I think I have. I think Zach,
you've had it.
Yeah, okay. You've made it a couple times for us.
Doesn't sound like it was very memorable, though.
It was a couple of years ago, so I wasn't 100% sure if it was goose or something else, but
it was goose pastrami. So yeah, a lot of times we do a late season diver hunt usually, and so we have a lot of guys that come out. So I'll make whatever goose I have left and a bunch of pastrami,
nice,
and share it with everybody. So in the last couple of years, he hasn't been able to make it. So.
Okay.
You missed out on that, but
wood ducks or mallards?
Overall mallards, but some of my most memorable hunts recently have been with wood ducks. But overall mallards.
Okay. Preferred habitat to hunt?
Lakes,
which
is kind of a little different from I would say most people would probably say.
You're taking saying like big water or what kind of lakes? Or
like
reservoirs or Lake Michigan?
No, I'm not big water, but like, I don't know, 100 to 300 acre lakes.
Sure. Okay.
Decent.
Pretty sizable. Yep.
Decent size.
Okay, cool. You shoot what choke restriction?
I have a, it is a, what is it? It's a little bit tighter than a standard modified is what okay. I should.
Improved modified.
Yeah,
I am.
Yep. Okay. And, oh, I just had another one and now it's slipping my mind.
What's your favorite duck to shoot?
Widgeon.
Widgeon is your favorite duck. That's a first, I think.
How many widgeon have you shot?
Yeah.
4 or 5.
And those were the like the best days of your duck hunting life?
I love widgeon. I don't know why. I just that's
sure.
The duck for me.
Nice.
Hmm.
Yeah. We'll take it. Yeah. Well, I guess since I can't remember there's the last one. Oh. Spinner or no spinner?
Spinner.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. We haven't done lightning round in a little bit, but you know, we do it. It's kind of a quick way to let people know like more about you as a duck hunter. So
gotcha.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. We should say the mission of the podcast. We haven't said it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
The mission of the podcast is to educate, to entertain, and to do whatever we can for conservation. So hopefully we're doing that, and hopefully you guys are enjoying. We've been doing a lot of different content types on the podcast as well, having some really cool guests. If you're enjoying the podcast, the Duck Hunt Podcast, share it with a buddy. You know, share, post on social. You know, we definitely appreciate it. And everything that you can do for that, you know, it's free. And it's also a great way to help us have a bigger voice so we can, you know, spread the message as far as all that goes in duck hunting. All righty, let's go ahead and talk about today. So, Hunter, you want to kind of take it away a little bit?
Like where we started?
Yeah, where we started.
So we woke up and then we put on clothes. No, actually, we woke up and we woke up kind of early for how late we stayed out, but woke up and
stayed up. We stayed up. In the cabin.
Yeah. We were just up like playing chess and stuff like that last night. But
just hanging out, having fun.
Yeah.
I told you, like, I think like one of the most fun parts is just hanging out and being in the cabin.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I mean, I can't wait till it's on the water and you get to walk outside and just watch the river. Like, it's, yeah. But then I woke up and had breakfast and everything. And our original plan was to remove the caulk from between the boards below the water line and to sand the hole in order for us tomorrow to re-caulk the hole. And those plans were like halfway done.
Right. Like, yeah, it was. So, I mean, just to be like, just to kind of give a better description of like what we had to do. I mean, it's like hours of work, like laying on your back beneath the boat, because right now it's all up on Jack, sitting on dry land. What do they call it? What's the word for it? On the hard. You know, we have to be real boats.
Boat people.
River rats. So we got the boat on the hard. It's up on the jacks. I mean, hours of taking putty knives and just ripping the caulk out between the seams. And, I mean, we got blisters on our hands. I got a couple cuts on my hand. My hand slipped, and I had a board like go up my nail, and I had like a chunk of wood in there for like half the day. I couldn't get out. Finally, I dug it out with a pocket knife. So I mean, it's grueling, tough, sweaty work doing this. And like, we all had disputes on how long this was going to take.
Yeah. You know what? We did all have disputes. And honestly, I think it was like between you and Zach.
Probably.
Yeah, I said like noon.
Yeah, you said like noon, and like we broke for lunch, and we were still working on it. And then
he
after
actually
lunch,
said 11:30. But,
oh, okay.
And you
okay.
said 12:30.
I said 12 to 1.
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe he was close.
Yeah.
He,
yeah.
When did we finish? Around like 2, 3.
Well, what was that? Oh, was that somebody else working?
Yeah,
we're in the boatyard, so there's lots of other things could be going on. But yeah, so it took us the better part of the morning and some of the afternoon as well. And we woke up at 7. It's not like we were sleeping in, and we got to it. So
And it was just laying on our backs, ripping out this caulk, and it's no fun. It's like certain spots you can just rip it out, and it'll just come out in strings that are like 4 foot long. And it takes you like a minute to do that. And then other times you lay there and you fight it for a half hour to get 2 inches of caulk out because it's between two boards that are swolled up or whatever, and they're just tight and you just can't get it. And we started off with trying to just go below the water line, and then that went up to the rub rail. And then it went from the rub reel to, well, we might as well do the whole thing. So we had a little bit of mission creep going on there. But
well, we made better time than kind of what we were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, we kind of split it up. We had Zach and Alec on one side and you and me on the other side, Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just getting it all out from the seams, kind of split it up. And just grinding away. And finally, we get pretty close to almost done with pulling all that out. And yep. So you decide to get in the bilge because also we have to have the bilge is the inside of the boat. It's inside the hull where all the water would run to the bilge pumps. So technical term. I never realized, before we got a big boat that that's what a bilge pump is. I'm just like, oh, that's a bilge pump is the pump people have at the back of their John boat. But, obviously it was the pump out the bilge of a big boat like this. So kind of funny how you just,
words get adapted,
right? You just assume that's what the word means and that's the origin of it and don't question it. And then you're like, oh, well, this boat has a giant bilge. Which I would be like, you mean like a giant pump? No, like it's the inside of your hull. So you got in there, you had to clear out all the tracks so that water could flow down to where we're going to have the bilge pumps.
Yeah, we need to clean it all out so that way the water eventually, when we put it in the water, it can flow to the bilge pumps without choking them off. And then the other thing was before we were going to put in caulk into the re-caulk the bottom and the hull of the boat, we wanted to have the stuff, the trash cleaned out of the inside so that way we didn't end up caulking to the garbage. We wanted to caulk to the good boards and everything. So we wanted to go in and clean out. I mean, it was like a bunch of like paint chips and handfuls of rotted wood and mouse nests and squirrel nests and everything else you could imagine. And things didn't go great. So I got down there and started cleaning. Everything was good. Vacuuming up stuff still taking forever. And I got to a certain part of the boat and started looking around and going, oh, we got kind of a problem. And essentially what's happened is there's some holes in the top deck and the water has been able to get through the top deck, run down the inside in the bilge and essentially just rot everything it touches. 'Cause it's sitting down in the bilge. There were plywood over top of it, so there's no way for the water to ever evaporate, and it was just rotting the wood. There's actually a board down there that, I mean, if I pulled hard enough on the stringer, I could probably just pull the stringer out of the boat. So we looked at that, and we kind of had to make a game time change of plans because it came kind of evident that getting the top sides, which is like what would be your roof and your decks, but getting your top sides covered at first seemed like a more of a priority. Because if we were to caulk the bottom of the boat and everything like we'd originally planned and then it rained, there'd be nowhere for the water to go. So we'd come back and we'd just have a bathtub of water and rotting wood and our nice motor and electronics would be under the water. So,
right. So kind of to add to that a little bit, when we first got here, the first weekend, I mean, we cleaned everything, right? Even to the decks, like they were, I mean, caked with mud. And even doing that and just sweeping it, it like knocked off a lot of the caulk. And Zach, I know you for a while there, you're plucking some of it off too on the front. Mm-hmm. And so they actually, in the time that we're here, between now and the last time, I mean, they got like 9 inches of rain,
yeah,
2 feet of snow. So it's been like, I mean, historic amounts of rain and wetness. So that didn't help our situation either because it wasn't that wet or as bad. We kind of knew there was water damage. We kind of knew like, hey, we have to take care of this stuff. And we're kind of biding our time and figuring out exactly when we needed to do it and when we wanted to do it and what part of the process. So
it was accelerated. It was moved up the list of priorities.
It was like an awakening to the fact of like how big of a problem is and how quickly we need to solve it. Zach, you're down there. Kind of what were your thoughts when you saw that?
I mean, I was kind of talking to Hunter about it. Like, I think it's fixable. I don't know if it's the right way to do it, but you could build a box section around some of the stringers that are busted, and even kind of go and support the keel. But, you know, like you were saying, if we caulk the outside of the boat before we actually fix the deck, it's going to hold water down there, and then there's not going to be any airflow. So it's the stuff that is wet isn't going to dry. It's just going to continue to rot. So, you know, I think if we can patch that deck and get all that stuff dry down there, we'll have a much better idea of what's actually an issue, because a lot of that wood's just spongy from it being wet. So once it actually dries out, we can see where the rot is and what actually needs to be fixed.
But, right, because it wasn't that bad. I mean, okay, it was a problem. We knew it was a problem, and we knew the wood, there's some rot, and we kind of knew where it was at. But then when being this wet and kind of sitting that way under all that water and in all that water,
it exasperated.
Right, yeah, it made it even that more apparent that it needed to be fixed right away. And honestly, we were making such good time on pulling the caulk out of the bottom, and Zach, you and me had started, we all kind of split up, you know, me and Zach started sanding and scraping, and Alec, you were still being a champ and just ripping out caulk, and your hands are literally all taped up from blisters.
And I've got more on my hands that I haven't taped up. I was just hammering away at all those little tough spots that taking a half hour to get 8 inches done instead of, you know.
Right.
All the easy stuff was already done. That was just taking care of the hard stuff.
Yeah, that stuff's tough for sure. And then, Hunter, you were down in the build. So, I mean, we were making such good time, and, like, I felt like everything was going to plan and everything was going perfect. I'm like, man, we got this caulk done so much faster than kind of even what we're predicting. We're getting the sanding, and I'm like, we're going to get the sanding done today. We're going to get the caulk in tomorrow. And if we have that done before we leave, it's like it puts us – the goal was to get that done so we could be, like, a weekend ahead of our – of one of our perceived schedules. We kind of bounced back a few times, but then for that kind of be ripped away,
it was defeating.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
It was demoralizing,
right? Yeah, and I think we're all like, because we literally had sweated and busted our butts, and we're on like step two of three for the day, and actually we're on step two of two.
Yeah,
and like we were probably going to finish ahead of schedule. So like the silver lining is we needed to do that anyway. But we just had to switch gears really quickly. And so we're like, okay, we need to work on the deck and get that sealed up, leave the bottom how it is so the air can circulate through there. Everything will dry up, and then we'll be able to figure out what we need to shore up and how we need to shore things up. And, you know, I even said it. I didn't really believe it, but, you know, you guys are saying, okay, like, hey, we got a mess that we got to finish. I'm like, we need to trash the boat. Is it done? Is it over? Like, you know, give it to me hard. Tell me the truth. That's not really what I was being a little dramatic on purpose. But you're like, no. Hunter, you're like, no, it's a wood boat. The thing about a wood boat is you can just add more wood to a wood boat, right?
Yeah, you can always fix a wood boat. That's one nice thing. Given enough time and space, you can always fix a wood boat.
Yeah. So one kind of cool thing, is this a cool thing? One interesting thing, kind of cool too, is like, it's kind of funny because we're in this boatyard. All these guys are like old school. What's the right word? I want to say like a boatman, but like a woodsman. But like, what's the word for it? There's not a...
River rat? I don't know. River.
That does not sound as like
no. It doesn't sound classified,
right? Like you say, like a woodsman. You're like, oh man, like a regal old man that knows his way around the forest. You're like a river rat. And you're like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it. They're just old guys that've been around boats for a long time,
like a boatsmith.
I don't know. There's got to be a word for it, but who knows?
But it's kind of funny because I didn't realize that there was this community around these marinas. And this marina, we're up north in Minnesota or Wisconsin. I'm sure some of these guys are from Minnesota too. But either way, I mean, they're literally like, there's guys like sleeping in their boats too here, which I never would have guessed that. And then working on their boats, like getting them all prepped for spring. There was literally like a pile of them, like sitting in a circle just all day.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Just hanging out at the marina. And I mean, we're the talk of the town here.
Oh, yeah. we really are.
Because like the youngest guy we saw was like in his upper 50s probably. And most of them, you know, 60s, 70s. And it almost kind of made me feel like, is this like a dying breed kind of thing? Like, you know?
Yeah, I guess I didn't consider. Well, there was a younger couple here. The boat that they had to put in the water today. That was a younger couple.
Sure. But maybe it's just the guys that hang out, like retired guys. It was just really interesting, kind of cool to see. And they all wanted to come talk to us. They all wanted to come look at the bow. They all wanted to ask us what our plan is, and like all of them, like just, I mean, they thought it was the coolest thing. But like, this is what they do, right? Too, they all have boats, and you know, we had guys climbing up the ladder, coming and taking a tour around the boat, and yeah. So that was kind of, I think, it was kind of cool. It was the right way to put it.
Yeah, it was cool to see people in person, kind of excited about the project too. I mean, I guarantee you, as soon as they walked away, they were all like, "Wow, those guys are way over their heads. They don't even know." But regardless, it was kind of cool.
Yeah, we did have. There's one guy that came and he had a 50-foot.
Yeah, Chris Craft Constellation.
Chris Craft, yep. Wood boat, and he maintained it himself. Kept it on the water for 12 years with wood boats. That's just like, it's a feat, you know.
Yeah. It's dedication.
It's dedication, right, to it. So it was cool to see his excitement to it, and kind of like to add to what you said there with like, oh, like what are some of these guys thinking? And I walked out the cabin. The two guys were talking about it, and he's like, oh, those guys, young, and they're gonna be able to, you know, give it heck and give it all it's got and get her done. So it was like kind of, it's just, I don't know, the whole kind of seeing all these guys from the community of
boaters.
Yeah. And their excitement around it too is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's also kind of funny to see like the little bit of pessimism too, where there's like the guy that was over here talking about it. He's like, I wouldn't get that thing done in 100 years.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's kind of an interesting mix. As to be expected, I guess.
Definitely. Yep. So back to our demise or near demise, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So the decks have rotted boards and holes and all sorts of prior fixes that are not great, where they just sprayed spray foam into other holes in the
And they just literally like poured epoxy on it. Like, this is not how you fix a wood boat necessarily, right? So like we had to rip, you know, all the caulk off the deck. So now we got scrapers again, and we're ripping all this out and ripping out the boards that we knew were bad, which had the holes and the rot and all that. So yeah, it was really defeating to like.
Well, it was even worse than we thought too, because we kind of got down on our hands and knees scraping all the caulk out.
Well,
and you'd get to the corners and.
Well, yeah,
me and Hunter kind of knew that it was that bad. We checked it last week. I don't think we it wasn't something exciting to tell you, but like we were aware of it, and we were coming up with the idea of how to fix it. Hunter, you said you wanted to jump back.
Yeah, well, our original plan was, when we're like, hey, we need to fix the decks, right? We were like, hey, we got to pivot. We have to fix the decks first. We got up here and we're like, hey, so we're going to rip out all the caulk because it's a plank deck. We'll rip out all the caulk. We'll figure out what boards we need to replace. We'll cut boards to fit into those spots. We'll, you know, essentially scab boards in, and then we'll go on our way. Well, then we got to ripping out caulk, and it just kind of just kept getting worse, as wood boats kind of tend to do. You find a little bit of rot, you pull it out, and then it goes to a bigger piece of rot. You pull it out, and it leads to a bigger piece of rot.
I think we kind of knew that it was going to be that way, Hunter.
Yeah, I still think it was worse than I expect. I didn't expect the rot behind there's like a trim piece. I didn't expect the rot behind the trim piece to be as bad as it was.
So I guess I knew it was that way from the last time. I don't know if it's just what I was working on. And we talked about like the deck, and I knew like our plan was to like scab them in. But it kind of goes back to what you said, Alec. Like, we got a real aggressive time frame, and that just comes out of almost necessity, because I mean, we did bite off a lot, and we bit off a lot to do this in a summer and like commit to coming up weekends and like, I mean, long, like it's no picnic working from literally 7 to 7, like 12-hour days, busting your butt, sweating.
Yeah. 12 hours from home.
It's no picnic for sure. But it just comes back to the aggressive timeline. And I think I would prefer to scab them in because it would look nicer. And I was really kind of torn up because, I was like, oh man, I can't believe our final decision was, and Zach, you kind of said this, and I said it as well, kind of separately. And we're like, oh, we kind of have a similar idea here,
cover the whole deck.
Yeah. Just recover the whole deck. We're not going to scab in boards. We're just going to cover, the whole thing and, you know, put treated lumber on top of it. And you called your dad. And what's, like, what's his expertise that his
opinion matters?
Yeah.
So, like, for a little bit of a backstory, my dad actually went to college to be a wood shop teacher. And then my whole life growing up, we had a wood shop at our house and, like, doing custom cabinetry and just building random wood shop stuff, right? I mean, our wood shop's pretty big. It's a 95-foot long, 40-foot wide building. That's just a wood shop. Mm. And so that's what I grew up in. And so my concern was, is if we leave the boards there that are already rotten and then we put another board on top of it, are we just accelerating the rot of the boards below and just shooting ourselves in the foot for the future, right? We're just making a bigger mess for ourselves. And so I called him to see, and we kind of came to the conclusion that because the deck boards, the bottom of the deck boards actually are the top of the bilge, that will be okay because the bilge will still have air in it. So those boards will eventually dry out because of the air circulating within the bilge itself. So we kind of decided it was okay to do it. Obviously, not the perfect way to do it would be to rip the entire deck up and put down all new planking. That would be the perfect, best way to do it. But we ain't got 2 years to do that. So
right.
We don't have the time for that right. kind of a fix. Maybe someday in the future we'll fix it in that way, but...
Right, and that's kind of what we said. It's like it could be a different year project, you know, depending on how long this boat project and content goes, where like a different summer we rebuild the deck. But we have to make some concessions to functionality and time-saving methods. And I was torn up because it's the OG deck. It's the original. Mm-hmm. Like we're pulling out cotton.
Caulking.
Yeah, which is like the old-fashioned style that they used for wood. So we know it's like the original, and it looks really cool to have the plank decking, but there's just no way that we'd be able to do it in time. It would take a weekend in itself just to fix that.
Yeah. Oh, if not more, like to scab in boards and stuff like that. Honestly, like looking at it after we got the trim pieces and everything cleaned up, honestly, I think it'd be even faster to rip it all out and redo it. I think that'd be faster mm-hmm. than scabbing in boards.
Probably.
But the issue is, and this is, again, what happens with wood boats, well, you scab in boards. Well, you go to rip it all out, and now the stringers underneath are not as good as you want them to be. So now you got to rip those out. And then you
right.
know, what those are tied to, are those any good? And then, like, before too long, you end up with a whole new boat. So, like, it's just kind of how it goes on wooden boats. So you have to kind of draw the line somewhere. And we looked at I looked at the stringers from the back, underside of the, from inside the bilge. Some of them are rough. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but they're all there and they're all fine. And so it just makes more sense to cover it all with a layer of plywood, with like treated plywood, cover it all, seal it all up, paint the plywood,
yep, trim it.
Yep.
Put the trim around it, seal it all up. So,
and it'll be fixed. I mean, it'll be fixed for years to come. It'll probably be the last time we have to screw with it, to be honest.
Yep.
And that's just kind of the nature of wood boats. And then at some point when those boards get weak, well, someone else will have to rip them all up and be like, why the heck did they do this?
Or maybe they'll just put another layer right on top.
Be like a roof, got like six layers of roofing. But it's not the best solution. I know that one of the other common things people do on these boats is they fiberglass the decks. Just because they get walked on so much and everything else, the decks just get abused. And so I know it's pretty common to fiberglass the decks, and maybe that's something in the future to make it last even longer yet after we plywood it. We'll fiberglass the plywood, which is like probably the best solution to have.
Right.
So, because that would make it way better than what it is now, and it just has to be fixed. Right. So there's just no way to get around it. We knew it had to be fixed. We didn't realize that we needed to bump it in the priority list.
Yep. So we got it ready to go. We got all the supplies. We prepped the surfaces. I mean, we took out all the old trim. We took out a bunch of the caulk. We all the rotten wood as much as we could. Mm-hmm. Everything's cleared off. The railings are cleared off, and we're ready tomorrow to get it going. So, and we really do need to get it done before we leave. So we're going to be busting it. I mean, we made that decision, that game time decision change, plan change at, like 3 in the afternoon, 4.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then we just busted it, right? We busted it, got everything we could done. And, you know, it was kind of a little bit of roller coaster of emotions because going so great, so to plan, and then boom, rock bottom, you know, game time decision. And then like the way we have to do it, we decide just the best way wasn't, you know, my favorite. And then kind of back to like feeling kind of okay with it. So yeah. Zach,
yep.
As we stand right now, we're like on a scale from like 1 to 10. Where's your morale?
I'm feeling pretty good, honestly. I'm probably a solid like 8. So it was definitely demoralizing because like you said, we were at such a high, like everything was going to plan. We were ahead of schedule. And then within 5 minutes, it was like, oh boy, we got big problems.
Right. Where are you at from 1 to 10 on timeline as far as like staying on schedule?
Oh, that's hard.
I think we're fine.
Yeah, I don't think so. The biggest issue that we have is getting it painted so we can actually get it in the water, and I don't think that we're pushing that painting back too much farther. So like we kind of talked about, originally the plan was we'll do the decks when the boat's actually in the water, but now we just kind of push that forward. So I don't think we have any issues with time.
So what's out of 10, where are we at?
Like, say 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Morale, where are you at, Hunter?
I'm pretty beat down today. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I was no too happy when I went down there and realized just how bad some of the rot was. Like, the boards down there are so wet that when I vacuum them, I can run the vacuum over it and see where I vacuumed in the board because it sucked the water out of the board. And then you can wait and you can watch the water come back out of the boards and then vac it again. It was like so demoralizing to like have to see that. And then, you know, we were pulling out some of the rotten wood. There's like some shelving that was down there, some plywood shelving. And we're talking like pieces of 2 foot long by 1 foot wide plywood shelving that weighs like 40 pounds because it's just so waterlogged and so gross. So I was a lot worse. I think I'm back up to out of a 10, like a 6. Like,
yeah.
I will sleep comfortably. I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to be angry, but like, I'm not where it was.
Yeah. I was like a 9 after the first weekend, you know, maybe like an 8, 8.5. And then like when we're today, I think I was like up to like a 10. And then like when that hit, yeah, I'm right with you. I'm probably more like a 6, you know? Yeah, it definitely hurt, I think, a little bit. So.
What do you think about the timeline out of 10? Like 10 being we're going to get ahead of schedule, 1 being it's not going to make season.
I'm like a 7 right now.
Like a 7?
Yep. I think it'll make season. I just don't know if we'll get everything done that we want.
Yeah, I think there'll be lots of little things that
we'll
have to figure out.
Because we have a rush tomorrow, and like we're also hoping to like turn the motor over, and then like we got to clean up all this crap that's everywhere. And we got to get all the boards on and seal it up. And then we're ready for like the next time to like get back on track that we really have to get the hull sealed so that we're back on schedule for painting.
For painting, yeah.
And right. Even then, like we might have to add another weekend in again because if we have to prime and then paint, which we don't for the bottom paint. So I don't know. Yeah, we bit off a lot, but. We're going to get it done. And I know we got some people that are doubting us and I almost want to say haters, but it's not true. It's like, they're not haters. They're kind of like just doubting
being realistic.
I wouldn't even say realistic.
Saw a 43 foot boat that sat for 10 years and said, that's not possible. It's 6 months. I'm working 1 week in a month.
Okay. That's still not like, we can't say unrealistic or realistic, but they're doubters. Right.
And I mean,
anytime I have doubters, like I want to prove them wrong. So,
So they're helping you.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Motivation.
Sure, whatever. Like, I'm just saying that I just want those doubters to know. I might be down, but I'm not out. That's kind of what I want to say.
Oh, man. I mean, I still think we'll make it by season. Actually, I think that we're fine. I think that we're fine on this.
But if schedule. We how many weekends like this where...
I think this is the last weekend like this.
Hopefully.
Because the major problems that we have to remedy is the decks. The decks are a problem. We already have a solution. The next major problem that we have to that'll halt production on the boat, right, is fixing the stringers on the inside. And the reason we have to fix some of the stringers is because some of the planking boards have pulled away because the screws have failed because the wood is too rotten to hold them.
Right.
So we have to fix those in some way to make it to where the planking will stick back. That's only in a couple places. Actually, it's only one stringer that we actually really have to do. And so that's the next problem, which we already know about.
Right.
And the thing is with like wooden boats is that like as you peel the onion, the proverbial onion back, you see more and more problems. Well, today we touched every inch of the hull by scraping the caulk. So if there's anything that was wrong with that, we would have found it today. Right. The only real problem we found on the hull was the keelboard that we already knew about. And then we cleaned the inside or the bulge. The bilge is most of the way clean. I had to run a fan in there to dry it out some because it was literally so thick with like water. I couldn't vac it up with a vacuum. So, but the bilge is most of the way clean. So I've already laid eyes on everything down there.
Right.
So the only real major thing that's going to keep us now that might cause us delay is the motor.
Right.
Is the drive gear. And that's the only thing that can really, really delay us at this point. Because we already know the answers to everything else.
Sure. But we still got to drop it in the water and make sure that all goes smoothly, which will be a crazy adventure. I mean, we hope it goes right. I mean, just like everything else. And then the motor, we haven't even turned it over, but we hope everything goes to plan. That's what I'm saying. It can start to snowball and get away from you. But I do think we're fine.
Yeah.
But time will tell. We still got a lot of hurdles to overcome.
You don't know a positive?
Sure.
We don't have to do anything with the roof.
That's true. Yeah. Yep. What do you think, Alec? You got any last thoughts you want to add to this podcast?
Man of many words.
I guess I want to say it again. This is a big project. It's not impossible. Timeline is aggressive, but as you guys were just saying a second ago, it's almost downhill now. Most of the more difficult stuff, other than possibility of anything with the engine or just making these smaller repairs, it's mostly downhill now. All the hard knuckle busting, blister making work is pretty much behind you.
Right. Yeah. So we were talking earlier, me and Hunter, I think this is going to be the worst weekend of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but we definitely appreciate Alec, you coming out and helping too.
It was fun.
Yeah. It's fun, but it's a lot of work too.
Yeah.
So hopefully at some point in the season, Zach can take you back out here and you can, join us for a hunt here or there. So
we'll plan on it.
Sounds good to me.
Good deal.
Oh yeah.
Alrighty. Well, I think this is a pretty good place to wrap her up, guys. I know we've been talking about the boat a lot on the podcast, and it's all going to come to fruition during season, and we'll have more duck hunting to talk about on those episodes. But I hope you guys are enjoying the project as much as we are. It's a project of a lifetime. I don't know if any of us will ever do anything like this again, especially, and it's so cool that we're able to connect it to our passion of duck hunting and put it out here in this audio form for all you guys to follow along as well. But let's go ahead and wrap it up. I'm Jordan from Duck and Chronicles. Hunter, the king of the cans, the co-host of the podcast, young Padawan, Zachary Conrad, the MC of Wood Duck Wisdom, and Alec, you don't really have a nickname yet, so I can't like give you some long overdone outro as well. But Alec the putty scraper.
Alrighty, fellas. Well, we do need to give an update for day two of the boat project here for the weekend that we're out there. I'm getting at the end of the edit of the podcast. And I realized we never kind of shared the rest of the weekend. So we'll jump right into it. So the next day, we got up bright and early, right back to it. We knew that we had a tight schedule. Like we said, the whole thing's been a tight schedule, but we really needed to get that deck sealed so that the hull could stay dry through the rainy period of the spring and reduce any chance for more rot happening in the bilge or anywhere else on the boat for that matter. So like I said, we jumped right to it. We had a game plan set where we're going to template the deck with cardboard and paper and tape. It was not the best templates. We did the best with what we could do on shorter notice. And Zach, young Padawan, was the template creator. I was the jig saw cutter, cutting it out of the treated lumber. And then the new guy, Alec, the putty scraper, was running around kind of helping everybody, but he helped me out a lot, kind of holding down the templates to trace them out, and then holding down the boards for me to cut them with the jigsaw, then running them up to Hunter, who was tacking them down to the deck. You wouldn't really think, or maybe you would, but I guess I underestimated how long that would take. And we started, 7 in the morning. I was up, a half hour before that, getting ready, getting around, and everybody else wasn't too short after that. Picking up trash, getting it in the dumpster, all the rotten stuff we took out of the boat, getting that in the dumpster. And then we smoked backstrap, on the Traeger, and then got right to work. So, there was no slacking happening, on day two of this weekend. And even still, starting at 7 and having pretty much a cutoff time of around 12:30 to make sure that we could clean everything up, leave the place, leave the marina, in a good spot, not, without junk around everywhere. All our gear packed up, all our bags and everything that we brought out of the boat and in back into the bus. We still didn't get it all done. So we gave it heck, though, and we gave it all we could, getting all that done. And even though throughout the weekend we didn't check a box, this thing is completed, all around we did get just a ton of work done. So the next time we go, I think we're really going to be able to check some major boxes off the process, because we'll be able to caulk and seal everything. We'll be able to have the deck complete. We'll be able to have the hull complete, sanded, ready to go. And then we're going to start making some leaps and bounds forward. Oh, I should mention, we did get the batteries in the boat. We did have a huge success, and that the motor actually turns over. So something that we were told would happen, but until you confirm it yourself, there is a little bit of, concern that something in the last 10 years could have gone wrong with the motor. But, this motor is really bulletproof, an old, gritty, tough, one of the best motors that you can have in an old boat like this. So a Detroit 471, two-stroke diesel. If I got something wrong, Hunter will correct me, I'm sure, in the future. But So, and then we got out of there. Another weekend working on the boat. And it was tough, grueling work, but loved every minute of it. Love the project. Love the progress. And I've got some questions about it. And my answer to all of them is I regret nothing. And I'm excited to get the season. And this is just going to be such a cool way to do season for sure. So thanks again, guys, for tuning in for this episode of the Duck Gun Podcast. You should check out the video. If you're enjoying this content, this type of podcast, the video is just going to show so much more than I'm able to, obviously, on the podcast. I'm not sure if it'll be out by the time this one releases, but it'll be close. So check over there, Duck and Chronicles. It should be out. It'll be out. I'll just say that. It'll be out over there in Duck and Chronicles. I'm going to do my best to get everything edited and ready to go. But all righty, fellas, we'll see you on the next one. Jordan, Duck and Chronicles, we're out.